efficiencies and continue to make that progress. And she's already at this point being extremely powerful with the savings. But I have to say, when you take back into balance with the national shores levy, for example, which is 2 million, you lose that, two of that three already, just being able to put that additional budget pressure. So this is why we're coming to you today with the pre-set proposal that it is to go with the 10-pound increase, which is about 13p a week for mandate properties, which is the majority of the council tax base on this side. It was very clear in the policing settlement that came out before Christmas that the government are expecting PCCs to increase the pre-set. When the government talked about making more money available for police and fire commissioners and police forces, they are very clear that they are expecting us to increase the pre-set. And there will be a big pushback that we, well, I have pushed back and said, we can't afford that, we need more money. And they have said, there is no more money, you have to increase the pre-set. So this is where we are today. So it's not where I like to. I'm very alive to the fact that there are lots of challenges that the residents of Costa Mesa will be facing. I know that the cost of living crisis is not is being felt by lots of people from this side, but it is that that situation where we are is very much the expectation from government that we will be doing this in order to balance our budgets. However, having said that, when we said that, we've got to say that we've got the details in the report to our program, but I am very grateful that actually when we spoke to the public, 59% did say they would be willing to pay more. As I say, it's got 13 a week for Band-Aid, and nearly 60% said they would be willing to support that. So I'm very grateful to the public because I know the pressures at the moment, but actually, the majority have said they are willing to fund that increase, which is very welcome. And actually, 95% of people we spoke to were very supportive of both my and Chief Constable's intention to rebuild the kind of the strength of the workforce on those side of these to get to where it needs to be. So people are very supportive of funds, and the majority are also supportive of paying a little bit more to help us fund that as well, which is very welcome. If we do increase the preset, of course, there are going to be some savings need to be made. We are still looking at £3.2 million. In the first instance, we are looking to use some of the budget support reserve to help cover the gaps of that. So that gives you possible time to identify some savings moving forward over the next 5 years as part of the medium-term financial strategy. But that's why it's important to know that if we don't do a full increase in the preset, any lower amount of preset that we end up going with, will increase the amount of savings we'll have to make along with, which is why I would urge you to support it if you feel able to do so. So that's the kind of headline. I'll hand over to Chief now to tell you more about the operational side of things and where office is going and the role of these side of things.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning, everybody, and it's been nice to be here in person. I know what it was online. So, Merseyside Police is still one of the best performing metropolitan forces in the country, as graded by HMRC FRS. But it's a reputation that we work really hard to achieve and we are very proud of. Why is that important? Because I think it matters to our communities that we're here to serve, that they have a high achieving and high performing police force. And our vision, which you undoubtedly have heard before, is absolutely about putting the needs of our community first in everything that we do. And I'm really proud that the whole organisation absolutely is aware of that vision and committed to it. It doesn't matter what role you have within Merseyside Police, whether you are a frontline officer, whether you're a member of our police staff, everyone is committed to absolutely putting our communities first. And as the Commissioner said, it is a really positive position for the force and for our communities in terms of the role of police officers that's coming through Operation Uplift. It means that we'll be back to our levels that we enjoyed in 2011, but we absolutely need the preset to maintain the numbers that we have in terms of our police officers, PCSOs and police staff, and the ability to keep those police officers on the front line, as opposed to having to move them into back office functions, which is absolutely in line with my vision for Merseyside Police in how I deliver the Commissioner's Police and Crime Plan. So, the challenges we face though, in terms of the increasing complexity of what we are dealing with, so the challenge from serious and organised crime, which is felt very much here in Merseyside, but you have no doubt seen the great results that we have had through Operation Magnetic, the complexity of what we are dealing with in terms of investigating those levels of crime with encrypted phones. the increases we've seen around cyber fraud, which has increased significantly throughout COVID during lockdown. The increased emphasis, and quite rightly so, against violence against women and girls is absolutely a priority. But also the need to innovate and invest so that we can transform the organisation. The Commissioner spoke of the work we do every year in relation to savings and investment board, which we've now run for 2 years to try and identify the savings that we can make within the organisation. And this year, as the Commissioner said, we've identified over £3 million worth of savings and also savings over the next couple of years. But that, you know, in terms of that, still means that we've got that £12 million budget deficit. So in terms of some of the priorities that I set as Chief Constable in support of delivering the police and crime plan, so our objectives around providing visible and accessible labour for policing, preventing crime and antisocial behaviour, supporting victims and vulnerable people, investing in crime and bringing offenders to justice, tackling serious and organised crime, and providing specialist capabilities. And from those objectives, as Chief, I've identified six clear priorities within that. One of those being serious organised crime, preventative policing, community engagement, vulnerability, specifically around violence against women and girls, inclusion and wellbeing. So where have we invested our resources in recent years? So in 2021-2022, we've invested over 130 of those Auckland offices. The priorities that we set out for the investment of those offices were around local policing, around proactivity, around cyber, around digital. 95 of those 122 posts have gone into frontline policing. They've gone into our response functions, so those offices that are there 24/7 responding, which has meant that our service delivery to members of our community when they ring us that they're members in need are much improved in terms of both our grade 1 response and our grade 2 response. We've invested into our firearms investigation team, which means that now Merseyside is seeing the lowest firearms discharges that we've seen for 20 years. That's not just as a result of COVID, because we're looking at the trend for all forces like Greater Manchester, West Midlands and West Yorkshire. We've invested in schools officers, 24 schools officers right across Merseyside, and having spent an afternoon with Ridgeway School on the Little, really being able to see those tangible benefits of actually, I think, preventing police is one of my priorities, but making a real difference in meaning that we are not criminalising young people, managing to intervene earlier and work with schools to make sure that we can get back the help and support that that young person needs. But absolutely the link then between school offices and into local policing, which is really important. We've invested in a dedicated neighbourhood policing team here in Knowsley. The benefits which have been felt by the community we've had really positive feedback from, but also our EDVET team, which is our motor vehicle enforcement team, which has been about taking proactive policing back to the roads of our community. And absolutely making sure that the criminals in Merseyside know that the roads in Merseyside are not a safe place for them to operate, but absolutely around linking back to prevention. So the investments that we've got planned for this year, so as the Commissioner said, we are due to receive 665 officers from Operation Uplift, and the decisions that have been taken previously means that we will actually have all 665 officers on our books by the end of March 2022, which is a full 12 months earlier than the government said they wanted us to recruit from. But by investments early on and using some reserves, we've been able to get them into the organisation early. It's a three-year training programme, so a lot of them are in training, but the academy, it's great to see. It's absolutely bursting at the seams with the new recruits, which is really positive. So from those 23 officers will go to Rocky, which I know is detailed in the report. I talked about 122 officers that we've already posted in 2021. The bids so far for 2022, the priorities for investment this year are absolutely still around local policing. We are absolutely taking cognizance of the work that our partners in local authorities and health are doing in relation to the integrated health and care system and how can policing work with our partners to support that place-based approach. Linked to all my priorities around community engagement and inclusion, which is really important to build trust and confidence on the back of coming out of COVID and the incidents that have happened during COVID. So offices will be invested into local policing, into community engagement and into our inclusion team, but also into our digital cyber and fraud teams and also our online child abuse team as well with the exponential growth that we're seeing around there. We also have bids that we provisionally authorised around additional posts into local policing, so additional local policing teams being created, teamed into our matrix team, so that very visible operational targeting of those criminals who blight of our community, as well as additional offices into our response model of policing. You'll know that now we've got full hubs, but actually how do we deliver that response model linking into that place-based. So there at the moment are those 70 posts that have been provisionally agreed. On top of that, we've got another 260 posts from our operational office to be agreed. So those are the offices that are still going through training that we will be able to start posting in about 12 months' time. But absolutely the priority is response policing, it's local policing, but also looking, I talked about the need to innovate and transform, the need to invest around our digital policing and the staff that are looking and investing in the future. Through the savings and investment programme, we have absolutely looked at every single post, every single process, really scrutinised to try and find the savings, and that's how we identify the £3 million worth of savings. I would absolutely say we've been down back in Stoke now, but we found all the loose change. To be able to meet the savings challenge of £12 million over 5 years, we are going to need to look at how we actually deliver some of our services differently using digital, so we do need to invest in our digital, so those offices, how we use those offices to invest in that to try and meet the savings challenge over the next 12 years, the next 5 years.
Thanks very much, Commissioner, and thank you very much, Chief Constable. That was very interesting. Chief Constable, just a quick sign, before we had to go to the power break with your predecessor, we were talking about some programmes and visits by members of the panel to support, to see some of the new developments and changes that have happened. Wonder whether that could be facilitated in the near future, given some semblance of normality that's pretend. I know members of the panel have expressed an interest in seeing some of the new developments at speak and the training session.
Absolutely. That would be great. I think it would be good to understand some of that complexity, the changes in demand that we're speaking about. So yeah, I've been happy with that. That would be
good. I mean, it's really interesting for us to hear what you're saying about the operation of it, because As a panel, it's interesting to hear the developments along with the brief operation, because as a panel, we were quite keen to assist the Commissioner and the previous Chief to be basically there to express and the vote that we could get ahead and get the approval done. So it's really interesting to see how the metrics transferred into the reality. So I think, I'm sure members would like to see that. Thank you very much. I'm sure you're going to ask for any questions or comments. From members, if you could just remind you, press the button, you'll be in the queue, you'll be brought in to ask a question, and then when you decide that you've finished, press the button to switch off. And the first member I have is Councillor Rowland.
First chair.
No.
I'll just chair the queue, Richard Orr, clear the queue. Councillor Rowland's no price. Ask the other members to join the queue. Okay, Mr. Chair. But first of all, welcome another Chief Constable and a report. It's a very welcome report there. And the Commissioner, welcome, and a new report too. On the tax base, you've got an assumed 1.1% increase, but it also says that
they could be greater than that. So have you got any up-to-date figures on that one, for 1%? What is it and what would it mean in monetary terms? A second question, so at the end of the year. Your £3.2 million savings in the year, how much is that realistic? Is there any sort of wiggle room there to be built into that £3.2? Or are you going to have to find exactly all that before, you know, so it's some impact on your budget? The last one is, how does this increase equate to your recalls and the delivery of your recent strategy?
So I guess on the last one.
How does the increase in the research and the value of it impact on your three pillars and your precinct strategy over the next couple of years? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that question. I'm going to refer to John, who's behind me, for the specifics we've got there.
Now we see all the information from the Federal Authority about the tax rate and inflation one. The actual increase now is at 1.58%, increase rather than 1.1% that we were assuming based on where we are. That would generate an extra £400,000 roughly in pre-set income, if it was on £10. In terms of the question around 3.167, pay back those savings, that obviously with the tax base coming in a bit higher, if we set the preset to £10, that would reduce that savings requirement. Built into that savings requirement is £1 million for the collection fund deficit, which goes build up in 2021. So now the information around that, there is now going to be a net surplus, so that will help us in terms of bringing that down. There's a lot of movement there. With regard to the final budget, as you know, this is not the final budget. That information that the tax rates are going to come in this week. So, you know, it's hard to unprecedented in that sense.
And then in terms of your final point around the three pillars, I suppose it goes back to what Chief Hoffman was saying around we want all these new resources to be out in the streets. There's a real commitment from the Chief around prevention, which is very much within my plan as well. She spoke about tax advice for the girls. I think the important message here is that we want these officers to be out in the streets, supporting vulnerable people, you know, being intrusive into organised crime, and we want to be able to do their job. And if we have to then keep heading them back to start filling the gaps with these staff, that removes that capability. So that's a message that I certainly want to have with the Chief. If she can get that budget, she can maximise the ability and the productivity of the police officers and keep staff to do investigations and the work that sits behind the scenes. So yes, I think there's a very strong link here in terms of what we want to do and how our plan will be delivered.
Thanks, Councillor Lawrence. Councillor Austin Depot.
Thank you, Chair. And I also want to thank the Chief as well for the MRI reports and also Commissioner as well. I mean, it's quite interesting that you have actually considered the results of your study in terms of all the results and these reports. But I just wanted to know, actually, considering the level of degradation and poverty that we see in the side walls because of my ward parties and headings, have you considered or explored any other option other than maximum prison increase? And just really thinking about the impact on local taxpayers in view of local current tax burden in the recent years. Thank you.
Yes, it's a really fair question, and it's something that I've got back and forth on because, you know, I am very aware of the Chief is about the pressures that our communities face. We know there are lots of communities across the side, like those apart who will be struggling and will be feeling the effects of austerity and cost of living. So we are very limited as a policing body in terms of how we can raise money. So we either get it from the government or we get it to the council tax precept, or we have to start looking at savings. And the honest answer is doing all three. You know, we're constantly speaking to the government around how we can maximise our income coming through. You know, we have a conversation about what she's doing to try and identify those savings, to try and reduce those budget pressures. Yes, but we are to be mindful of that. So the honest answer is we are limited with what we can do, and if I don't ask this precept increase, it will have an impact on the Chief being able to do the job. So as I say, because the feedback from the survey was very positive, we did get a lot of feedback, and actually I would say Alan in particular was very supportive. that reassures me that people understand that there'll be an additional burden, but they seem on the whole willing to support it because they know the benefits they'll get as of through the policing service.
Okay, for the clarification.
Thank you. Mr. Dale.
Thank you, Commissioner. Just a few comments really on the survey that I was trying to have. I found it not very significant, because it's only about 4% of the BME community actually ask questions on the survey. I found that some of the things on there, certainly on the burden to introduction of the non-police officers, recruited over the last 10 years, in actual information that I've read. And one of the other things very cruelly written. I mean, it's more like a fact that the new authority rather than a document that's, you know, a sort of constructive and so how do you over?
So, the survey only is statistically significant. We've got professional companies to do the survey for us, and they have assured us that this is all within the margins of error in terms of the consultation they've done and it is representative of the consultation, is what we've been assured. Can't speak for the nature of the report because it was written by them and you know it's given us the kind of key figures around what the feedback has been. I can certainly feed them back in terms of you know future reports if that's something that you're satisfied with. But as far as I'm aware, the principle of the survey is very representative of the population and it gives us that kind of statistically significant sample to enable us to make a decision.
But there's only 4% of the community actually ask questions. 96% of the white that's the representative.
Yeah, I think that is representative of the population of Merseyside. It is indeed. Yeah, we do have a surprisingly low BME population of Merseyside. I mean, I can certainly go ahead and double check, but my understanding is I think that is reflective of it.
You just seem to have a family for that, yeah.
Thanks, Councillor Brown.
Thank you. This is all. Just following up on the question that Ilch and Tom discussed this, but what is the company, you said there's a company that did this survey, it's an external company. What is the company that did this? Some of these questions seem a bit loaded, and I think Brian makes a good point about it being almost a political survey. Do you support the police commission being coupled? To try and protect officers and staff jobs to ensure Merseyside Police is as strong as possible to keep region safe. Well, nobody's really going to disagree with that. It's a little bit self-congratulatory, really, as a question. And there are a number of inaccuracies in the report. So if you actually look through the written text compared to some of the graphs, some of the statistics actually don't match up as part of the graph that part of this. So I guess this other graph, or as an exercise, my report is going to be published further, that needs tidying up. And it kind of raises the question how much of this survey is actually being used to formulate opinion going forward, or is it really just a box in the exercise to look like engaging as a level? Just moving on from that, the control inspection, drug intervention program. It's noted that your transfer funding from the EIP Community Safety Fund to the core police budget. Have you considered retaining the overall value of the Community Safety Fund and funding the EIP out previous core budgets? And then the question, I appreciate that's a theoretical subject.
No, that's fine. If I miss anything, just let me know. In terms of the survey itself, so we, the company that SMSR company we use is the one that the previous commission used last year. We were very mindful of the fact that we did feel comfortable doing a lot of public face-to-face consultation because of the nature of COVID. I will say as well that there was a very, very tight turnaround on this because we only got the policing settlements, I think, maybe the week, 2 weeks before Christmas. So they then started the survey, first week back actually January, and then we've asked them to turn around and get it to give at the start this week. So, if there are any edits or events that possibly arise, it has been an incredibly fast turnaround to try and get this information out. We can certainly go through and have a look before we publish it publicly, or make sure those things are tied up and bring it to these spots of those. There are similar questions in terms of what the PCCs are asking. So their survey is, they also do this with a number of other PCCs around the country. So there's a similarity there in terms of the tax questions that they ask. We do ask the question about whether people support the police, because particularly about rebuilding officer and staff numbers, because actually in some parts of the country that isn't the case. Some people don't necessarily want the police to be bolstered and enhanced. And so it has mostly been the reassurance that actually people are saying, yes, we want police officers, we want more police staff, we want it to be at full capacity, then the map reassuring is actually, and the fact that they're then on the whole willing to pay for, reassuring is the right way to do it. In terms of setting the precepts and making my decision is an important factor. I was very keen to make sure the public would support the increase. It's not the only factor in my consideration. Within the legislation, I'm required to consult with a variety of people, including the Chief Constable, in terms of what she needs to be able to deliver on my requirement for the people of Merseyside. So it's very much kind of a key factor, not the only factor, it's part of a much bigger assessment around what I think we need to do to be able to deliver for Merseyside residents. In terms of then your point about the community budget, so I think there's a later paper in the meeting we're going to, and obviously I know that colleagues in the panel will be involved in this conversation. There's an ongoing discussion about community funding. We are very keen to review that and see if it's working the right way, see if the process is right about what's going to CSPs, and the drug prevention program was part of that conversation. I think the panel have previously articulated that it didn't go right, and the DIC program sat within that budget. And that's partly the reason for transferring over to the kind of main police budget to mainstream it as part of day-to-day policing activity. And actually what it means is that we're very clear about the pot of funding we have available to focus on community safety and crime prevention in particular. And so you'll be aware, I reported that by a previous panel meeting that we brought in, I think over £3 million, we've now reported over £4 million in additional funding for things like community safety and crime prevention. So the community safety pot is one pot that we have access to, but I'm very keen to look at how we can maximise that, how we can draw down additional funding, top up, the grants that we're already getting to try and make sure that we're getting that work out as the community uses that crime prevention work. So I realise I probably don't ask you a question because we have to be more working on it, and actually, I think colleagues on the panel will be more in this conversation as we go forward as well.
Thank you. Mr. Pickle.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate the Chief's comments about moving forward and the mild way in which you've got to find trouble in the future. I personally feel with horror about that prospect, but that was sort of satisfying me later on. However, it really does horrify me that we're in that sort of position where we, as has been suggested, skip the drug there already. I do worry extremely about the effects it role on the police operations, the standards, and what the community currently expects and receives, and how that will change by that immediate reduction in the future. I have to say, and I've said this in previous precept discussions, given that at the moment we have a new commissioner, sorry, not that new now, but and certainly some additional posts have been made which are essential new posts, I think the fact is that in the future, if we're finding savings, those savings need to be across the board, force and the commissioner's office. And I would strongly encourage both the chief constable and the commissioner to involve all of the panel as far as they can in looking towards those savings, because I believe the danger is ahead of us.
Yes, no, thank you. I think you've articulated well in terms of there are some significant challenges over the next 5 years. We are kind of voting in that board, but that's not the way it needs to go. We are continuing to challenge the Minister and the Home Office about the way it's not sustainable voter funding. We can't keep pushing the bottom level tax base, it's not how it works. Most times it struggles because we don't have the same tax base that other areas do. So we are very much still making that call that there are going to be some difficult decisions to be taken over the next few years, and if they don't get beyond with the funding that we want from them. So that's the first one, I suppose. In terms of the savings, yes, so actually part of the process for this budget, I identified £40,000 worth of savings in my budget to be able to maximise the staff, the increase that you mentioned. It is something I'm looking at, you know, I'm very keen to go to visit anyways. My budget accounts for about 4.34% of the overall police budget, so you're only ever going to get £700,000 to contribute to the huge billions of pounds worth of savings that we're going to need across the board, but it's definitely something that is part of that. You know, we have very frank discussions as part of the savings board around where we can make savings. But also, you know, again, we're really trying to move this focus into that prevention space. So, you know, I mentioned before, I'm actually bringing £4 million from my office. That is going on the lot, that is on crime prevention. And actually, the other way to do it, as well as getting more increasing the police resources, is reducing the amount of the police in the first place. So trying to do that crime prevention work, trying to look at youth intervention, you know, drug and alcohol intervention. We're doing really great work around, we've had some funding from Project Anna to look at how we can engage vulnerable drug users, get them, you know, into a more kind of rehabilitative space rather than police enforcement space. There's lots of really good work being done. And that's something I'm really keen to push from my office in terms of, I can't necessarily add huge amounts of budget savings, but I can try and really prioritise that crime prevention, early intervention work, and hopefully then reduce the demand on the force. So then they have like frequent resources to go and tackle some of those other more challenging issues. So it's not an easy answer, but it's, you know, the point of our aim, I think it's something we're very likely to.
Thanks very much. Councillor Money.
Thank you, Sean. Worry, do you have a question?
No, no, no.
Yes, given there are so many assumptions that can shift and change, I'm really interested for a bit more clarity around reserves and some of the questions I'm asking myself are, is there a percentage of which that we have to keep in reserve, is there a legal requirement? And then I'm looking here at page 32, we've got mention of a restructured reserve, budget support reserve, direct resource. Just some more clarity, because it appears to me that there is a requirement to hold a percentage of reserves back for the future. Therefore, what percentage of reserves are earmarked to be spent now? A bit complicated, but that's what that means.
Yeah, thanks. In terms of general balance, what do you need to maintain some general balance that cover the means to take? They are risk assessed every year. At the moment, we are set and combat box £30 million, and that's what we've got in there. And that is around about 3.5%. What the government say in terms of general balance is anything over 5%, you have to clearly explain what that is for. You can already do that anyway. In terms of earmark reserves, we've built up those for a number of years, and they are mainly for specific things to do. But you're right, there are a number of big reserves in there. The budget support one, which we've known over the last couple of years, that there is this underlying budget deficit over the NHS that's created. So we've built up that budget reserve that helps support the budget and helps give the Commissioner and the Chief Minister time to make savings to balance the budget in the year. And we expect that to be used in the next 2 years. The other big reserve there is the restructure reserve, which over the last couple of years we haven't needed to use as much as we anticipated we would do. But we do believe over the next 3 or 4 years, as the Chief mentioned, there's a real review of the ways services are provided. And with Operation Uplift and Peace of Numbers being protected, you will have to make, in my view, just staff boxes with government, bringing decivilisation, but also those costs of having police staff redundant, all the redundancy costs, all the organisational changes will come out of that reserve there. So I expect that to be used over the next 4 years, unfortunately. All the other ones are the specific items for expenditure. Another one there is the emergency service network. We've got £600,000 there. To be honest, that is nowhere near enough. What will happen down the line, but it's something we have been putting away to address the issue down the line. All the other reserves, I mean, you'll see from page 53, as at the end of March 22, there's £42 million in reserve. We anticipate £16 million of that are contingencies. And of the remaining 25, really most of it will be spent within the next 5 years, except the restructured reserve, which at the moment we don't know when that will hit, but we can't take some out. I know we're going to spend considerably a large amount of that money. So in terms of these earmark reserves, you don't have to hold a percentage. They are for specific things. But we do report them as part of the budget report. We also have to report them to the government as well. The government's team has got what we're doing right across the police sector across a couple of years. The irony being, I mean, for example, last year, our reserves shot up that year then because the Home Office gave us £5 million for the drugs and serious violence thing, you know, because they have not spent it in their office. So by how it's got to be for the next 2 years in terms of what they're in the series of last time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Houston.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Commissioner. Chief Commissioner. Councillor, sorry. Chief Constable mentioned before about school visits. How does this compare with, say, 5 years ago, PCSOs coming to schools? And do you have any plans to increase the numbers of school visits? This is with reference to kind of things like early intervention and crime prevention.
So, 5 years ago, we didn't have any, we had limited numbers of school-based officers. Some of the schools funded their own police officers, but we didn't actually have the suite of 24 that we've got now. So a lot of that work was done on an ad hoc basis by our local police officers, community beat officers, and our PCSOs. So having 24 officers across Merseyside is making a real difference in terms of that early intervention. The school officers now have a dedicated training programme because it's a really different skill set that you need in terms of dealing with young people, and actually so they now have just done a 2-day course for them around the PHSE qualification. But also in terms of restorative justice, so that we can bridge that gap between young people ending up going down the criminal justice route and keeping out of court. It is supported by local PCSOs, so our PCSOs have a really valuable role, particularly around primary schools, because our school-based officers are working with our secondary schools. Our PCSOs perform that valuable role in primary school, and then they work together kind of blended approach between like year 6 and year 7, because we also recognise that transition from primary school to high school can be quite a problematic period. And we work with our third sector, because the academic research says that that transition period, say from year 6 to year 7, can be problematic. So we do work with our third sector, so most of the community, the Liverpool Foundation, to help us. And they work right across Merseyside to help us bridge that gap. In terms of what the plans for school-based officers, I see it as a really valuable set of officers. And in terms of kind of the commitment around local policing, it's a resource that I want to keep and invest in their skills. I'm not saying I'm going to invest in numbers, but we will look at in terms of that whole kind of place-based look.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. Obviously, in the past, as people know, the Commission went out, this panel has chosen to write comments and express its views. Whether or not it wants to do the same today, I don't know, but I am quite interested to know if the PCC has any information about what other PCCs are doing on their approach and understanding about the issue of appropriate grants, etc., advances covering the information that we always say to happen, but at the moment it isn't adequately covered. And I wonder what the PCs are doing about that as well.
I wonder if I just interject there as well, because I'd be interested to know. In the past, the panel has written to their office because we are concerned, and I think probably the present panel will be as well, the percentage change from the burden
no responsibility to pay. I seem to remember in previous years, Mr. Riley's given us an indication of what that percentage was increased from central taxation to local council tax. I think as Mr. Pickford said, that's something that, you know, apart from any decisions we take today, has its own right communicated to the Home Office on the same part. I think also I agree with Mr. Pickford over the possibility of this issue of 12 million. I don't like the euphemism savings because that's been 12 million cuts. And again, if we were happy to go down that path, I think the panel would want to communicate with the Home Office, because obviously we know that's not within control of yourself, Chief Constable, at this stage. But obviously we want to be supportive of the force, because, you know, 12 million is supposed to be, it's not really acceptable. But I don't know if it's about the only one spot, Mr. Ryan, whether you tell us what the percentage change is from the burden from central taxation to the council. Yes.
Yeah. 2010, 11 is 18%. Today it's 22%.
Sorry, so in
2010-11,
yeah,
at the start of the strategy,
yeah,
it was 18%, now it's 22%. That's on basis that it's different around every area. Somewhere like Surrey it's 50-50.
So it's gone from 18% to 22%.
And I suppose just to add a couple of facts, if you put it in the, you know, as John mentioned, so yeah, if you compare it, because we are so heavily reliant on the government grant, for every 1% that we need from the government grant, we have to increase council tax by 3% to get the same amount back. Where in a place like Surrey, they only have to increase the council tax 1% because their council tax base is much stronger. So this is the constant challenge we're having. And certainly a lot of the metropolitan areas, you know, like West Sides and Manchester and London and Birmingham, West Midlands are having similar conversations because they don't have the same tax base. And actually what you're doing is pushing that burden onto people who can't afford to pay it. And we just don't get the same money back as a place like Surrey do. So it's a real kind of challenging issue. And absolutely, I welcome the letter. If the panel will do that again, I would absolutely support that. You know, I think every meeting I have with the minister, I'm constantly asking for money, because I'm worried about talking anymore. But I really welcome the panel doing the same thing, because I think there is an assumption that you will just endorse it. I'm hoping you will today, because the reason we set out, but it'd be great if you could send that message back and say, actually, this isn't a sustainable way to do this funding, and it's not how we should be funding a vital service like the police. So yeah, I'm very glad on that, and we can give you any information to help us work out.
Thank you. I've no other indications to speak on this matter. So if I could just go through colleagues' actions to be agreed. We have last submitted the report with recommendations to the Commissioner by the 8th of February 2022. There are four options available to us. So do we wish to endorse the precept proposal? Endorse the precept proposal with additional recommendations. Reject the precept proposal with recommendations. Or veto the precept proposal with recommendations. So, they're the options in front of us. Does anybody have anything to say? Councillor Rowland?
Thanks, Chair. I think I would like to go to endorse the precept proposals with additional recommendations. And the additional recommendations is that to go to that office.
Anybody else, colleague? Anybody else, colleagues?
I can support that, Chair.
Thank you. Are we agreed on that then, that we agree to endorse the precept proposal with the additional recommendation that we communicate once again with the Home Office about our concerns about the shift on burden from the central grant to the council tax, and our concerns about the possibility of shortfalls in funding in the future? Are we agreed?
Yeah.
I think you mentioned the letter you also got in the members of the Home Office.
Sorry, Brad, could you tell me?
I think you mentioned the letter you got in the spot on comments to these equipment.
Yeah, okay, yeah. The officers will capture these comments and then we'll arrange to do that for the members. Thank you very much. Right, so I just mentioned it myself. So, grateful for that, colleagues, and thank you very much, Commissioner. Thank you, Chief Constable. Chief Constable, many thanks for attending today and support of the item. You're welcome to stay
weekend when you need elsewhere, then you'll feel free to leave the meeting.
I have teams for me, I'm afraid. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Not often you get to release a cheap positive program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, colleagues, if we turn to item 3B, which is the crime prevention on your families, documents 55 to 60. Thank you. You'll find these documents at page 55 to 60 on the agenda.